Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
77 degrees, sunny, and a beautiful Friday evening, heading into a weekend full of sun and hot weather. I really can't imagine anything better. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Jesse Wiza. This is 1320 WILS. Thank you for joining us this evening. On today's show, Facebook stock is out today. It opened at $38, closed at $38 in less than a quarter. And with less than 13% of users saying they believe Facebook will protect their privacy, is there trouble ahead? We'll get the answer from an IT and finance expert. And what do Muslims really think about non-Muslims? An MSU professor of religious studies writing a first-of-its-kind book on what Islam says about the salvation of non-believers, and he'll join us to tell us exactly what that is. But first, with all the partisanship that we've heard about at the Capitol this year, the State House yesterday, in a unanimous 107-0 vote, passing a set of bills known as Dominic's Law to strengthen penalties for child abuse. So just how lax are the current state laws? Well, to talk about that and other issues the House is addressing this year, I'm joined by Republican State Representative Matt Lorey, the sponsor of one of the related bills. And Matt, thank you so much for joining us here on 1320 WILS.
Thanks for the invitation to be here this evening.
Now, this legislation is known as Dominic's Law after a four-year-old Dominic Calhoun. He was tortured and killed by his mother's boyfriend. How did the current law we have not effectively protect him, and could the tragedy have been avoided?
Well, the current law did, effectively protect with what happened. In effect, Dominic was tortured in front of a sibling, and that sibling is requiring a lot of therapy and is in a lot of pain and suffering. This particular set of bills will add to the law a crime of in front of another child.
Okay, you're cutting out slightly, but just to confirm, you said the law as it's now structured does provide protection, but the issue is the fact that this was happening in front of another child, and the law addresses that specifically?
That's correct. This is another tool in the toolbox for prosecutors as they move forward. Many times on cases, there are difficulties at all levels. This is just another tool that a prosecutor can use in the event, a parent does torture a child in front of another sibling or another child.
I see. So it's more a penalty rather than a prevention. You know, a letter from Dominic's family said, quote, that if everyone from judges to child protective services had just done their job, the sweet child would still be with us. After Dominic's death, we started looking into the reasons why we were let down by the system that is supposed to protect children from violent homes. Are there other issues, though, brought up in this case that are not being addressed by state lawmakers?
You know, as we move forward in a lot of cases, I have a similar case down here in the 59th District in Centerville, where a 16-year-old girl was chained to her bed. A house fire occurred. She died of smoke inhalation. And then you go back to, you know, Dominic's case where he, you know, was urinating in his pants and, you know, upset the boyfriend and was essentially beaten to death. There are all kinds of cases like this of children at all different levels that, you know, society needs to take a look at. And, you know, certainly many times within the system does let, you know, a parent or a grandparent down in these particular cases. And that's what we're doing with Dominic's Law, is adding another tool so we can make, you know, effective law. All different instances.
The tool obviously increases penalties, but you know the family's pointing specifically at CPS, Child Protective Services. Do you think that the current structure of CPS here in the state is receiving enough funding, or is that something we should be investing more in to avoid these situations?
You know, I think it's totally separate from this particular set of bills. Certainly, you know, Child Protective Services needs all the help they can get. You know, money is tight in all budgets throughout the state, but it's certainly something, you know, we as a legislature need to be cognizant of and to make sure, you know, CPS workers, there's enough of them out there, and there's enough of them out there with adequate tools to get the job done.
I'm talking to Republican State Representative Matt Lorey. Matt, since I've got you here, I have to ask you about your colleague, State Representative Roy Schmidt. As you know, he shocked the Democrats this week by switching parties at the last minute and registering to run for re-election as a Republican. Do you think that he should have been more upfront about his plans and at least given the Democrats a chance to present a candidate to give voters a choice?
You know, this particular time of the year is extremely busy for me. I chair the Community Health Committee. 99% of my time is consumed within that committee. And, you know, as far as, you know, politics on a day-to-day basis goes, I don't particularly pay a lot of attention, but yes, I was shocked. But, you know, Roy was going to announce and came over to our side. I'm happy to see it. You mentioned bipartisanship in the beginning of the show, and absolutely, Roy was one of my favorite colleagues to work with on the Democratic side. He was easy to work with, easy to compromise, and that's what it should be all about.
Well, this is obviously a very rare event here in the state. Does it say something about the level of powerlessness the Democratic minority has at the moment, the fact that he wants to, he's actually making a move like this?
You know, those type of situations I don't particularly see. In the case of the Dominic Calhoun bills, Mark Meadows, Representative Mark Meadows from East Lansing, you know, was an integral part in, working with the judges and the prosecutors on this. So I don't have problems, working with the Democrats on a day-to-day basis. I get along with most of them very well. I'll leave it at that.
I want to ask you about the personal property tax elimination. It looks like then the House has decided to reserve voting on this elimination until after the elections. Do you think that is a good idea? Does it make sense politically?
Yeah, I think, it's the elephant in the room. No pun intended, but how do we replace the revenue that cities, villages, townships, and counties are currently getting in a steady stream, so they don't get shorted? That's the problem. Nobody has a real clear cut answer for that. I think it's going to take a lot of time and study, and I'm glad to see we postponed that while we take a good hard look at it and try to get everybody's input and come up with a decision that will be favorable to all sides.
Although it is quite a delay. I mean, if you're pushing this past November, I mean, is it basically a matter that you don't want this issue to be presented during the elections this year?
These type of decisions are leadership decisions. If it comes to the floor, I'll certainly vote on it whenever that is. But again, it needs careful consideration. It needs a lot of thought. If this would have been an easy decision, everybody, almost to a person, agrees that the personal property tax is bad for business in Michigan and that we need to do something. It's just trying to figure out exactly what that something is and, once again, to be fair to all sides involved.
I see. And in terms of what you see coming out of the Senate, I mean, they moved through it fairly quickly, and I guess there's a point where the tax can be reinstated. Is that right, if revenue is not there?
Yeah, that's my understanding, and I haven't read that bill word for word, but again, yes, that's my understanding. And to be fair to business, I don't know if I'm a businessman and the threat of a PPT coming back, if I'm going to spend millions on new equipment, I probably wouldn't do it with that cloud hanging over my head.
I do want to ask you too about a bill that is heading your way, the one the Senate passed yesterday to end pensions for newly hired teachers. Democrats have been very quick to point out that the system requires employees to contribute, so fewer employees in the old system will mean less revenue flowing into the system to cover those who remain. State Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer pointed out that a state analysis found that ending the pension plan could cost the state as much as $3 billion within 15 years. Is that worth the cost?
I'm not sure exactly on where we're going to go with that. The Senate bill has been, passed over to us. The Republicans, I think, are looking at a slightly different version, and we'll see where that comes out. Senator Whitmer's remarks need to be taken to heart, and, we'll take a look at those calculations and see what all the numbers come up with. And, again, hopefully we can come up with a proposal that saves the taxpayers of this state money and in addition to being fair to the teachers and the teacher retirees at this point.
Although, do you agree that the pension structure is unsustainable and really maybe adjustments will be made, but it really cannot any longer be offered to teachers?
Any teacher that I've talked to knows that, a $45 billion hole, the forecast is that's too increase up to $50 billion. Because any teacher that I talk to knows that you can't run a system with that kind of debt, and that something needs to be done. And again, hopefully we'll get to work on the details here in the next couple of weeks.
I see. I mean, this is certainly a very hot political issue. Do you imagine this could get voted through before the election, and could that very well bring out the MEA in a strong way?
I would imagine this issue is important to the current budget that's being crafted. You know, the savings that are proposed, are included in this budget proposal, and something will be done, and it will probably be done in relatively short order. But again, those type of decisions aren't mine. Those are leadership issues. And but again, in trying to craft a budget, and the savings, like I say, are scheduled to be in there.
Republican State Representative Matt Lorry. Matt, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Interesting. I think we covered quite a lot of things there.
Thank you for the opportunity.